This week, we're joined by James Mann, a former foreign correspondent for the Los Angeles Times, the author of Rise of the Vulcans, the history of Bush's war cabinet, and a recent contributor to the op-ed page. James Mann wrote on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of Ronald Reagan's famous Berlin Wall speech, the one where the president challenged Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down that wall. Jim Mann, welcome.
Good to be here.
So, on June 12th, 2007, the speech will be 20 years old, and yet people are still fighting about its meaning and its impact. Why?
Well, because there are really two different interpretations of the speech. Beyond that, I think they represent differing interpretations of how the Cold War came to an end.
Well, so what are the two different camps of interpretation?
One is what I call the triumphal interpretation, which is that Ronald Reagan gave this speech and there was a reaction inside the Soviet Union or in Eastern Europe that led eventually to the events of 1989. The other one is really that Reagan's speech was nothing but a stunt, and the larger Cold War interpretation of that is that the Berlin Wall came down largely because of dynamics that had nothing to do with Ronald Reagan or his speech.
And so who are some of the people in each camp?
Many conservatives believe in the triumphal interpretation. The person I mentioned is Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, who was also a Reagan speechwriter in the 1980s. On the other side, there are a number of people, not just liberals or Democrats who might be generally more critical of Reagan, but also some people in the George H.W. Bush administration, the current president's father, who really viewed the Reagan speech as not particularly significant. And they include people like Brent Scowcroft, who was the senior Bush's national security advisor, and also the current Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, who co-authored a book about the reunification of Germany, which really gave short shrift to the Berlin Wall speech.
So if both camps get it wrong, what's the right interpretation?
Well, I would say you need to look at the speech first in its larger political context. Ronald Reagan was, in his last two or three years, seeking to work out an accommodation with Mikhail Gorbachev. He was, in fact, throughout his presidency, preserved all through the early years and the defense buildup and Star Wars, always emphasized as well the idea that the United States didn't want to rule out negotiations with the Soviet Union, was eager for, particularly from about 1984 on, for summit meetings with the Soviets, and was pushing for a arms control agreement on intermediate nuclear forces. All these things were in the air in 1987, and during that period, he was already under attack from conservatives for being too conciliatory to Gorbachev. So if you look at the speech in that context, it was an important reaffirmation of American values, but was also meant to shore up Reagan's support with conservatives as he began to move into diplomacy with Gorbachev that the right wing was not going to like.
And do we know much about what the Soviets thought at the time of the speech?
We really don't. There are, for actual responses to Reagan's speech at the Berlin Wall, there really isn't a lot of evidence.
On that point, you mentioned in the piece, in a very interesting way, that when the speech was submitted to the State Department and, I guess, the National Security Council for review, people wanted to cut Reagan's famous tear down this wall line. Is that true?
Very interesting. It's absolutely true. Their objections went beyond that. The speech was really drafted by one of the young speechwriters for Reagan, a man named Peter Robinson. There had been drafts from the State Department, but really they were working with what Peter Robinson had written, and the State Department and the National Security Council didn't like it. They were afraid that it was going to really get Gorbachev in trouble with hardliners in the Soviet Union. They thought that it might jeopardize his political standing. And they really exaggerated that problem. It turned out that Gorbachev was able to live with the speech in one way or another. And he proceeded to move ahead with Reagan.
And did it come down to Reagan ordering the line be kept in the speech?
Just about. It came down to Reagan's aides coming to him and saying, you know, there are objections to this line. And he said, I think we'll leave it in.
So it sounds in a way that Reagan was alone in a way in his judgment of Gorbachev as someone the U.S. might be able to do business with.
Well, I think he really uniquely, he helped to judge Gorbachev correctly. He had the view that Gorbachev represented something different, something fundamentally different for the Soviets. He wasn't alone in that. His own Secretary of State, George Shultz, certainly felt that way. Many people in Washington did not. There are many people at the CIA and the Defense Department who really argued that Gorbachev was really a new face on old policies.
Now, you had mentioned that your thinking about the speech has grown in some measure out of a book that you were working on about the Cold War. Can you tell us a little bit about the project?
Actually, I got started on the project. It grew out of the previous book you mentioned, Rise of the Vulcans, which is about the current Bush administration and traces the history of the careers and ideas of people in the current administration. In doing that book, I got particularly interested in some of the debates and the events of the 1980s. So in an odd way, I would call this book a prequel to Rise of the Vulcans.
It sounds like there are other places where this conflict between the two schools that you see playing out on the speech plays out in other realms. Would that be an apt assessment?
It would. It didn't. I would say it didn't even start with the Reagan administration. You see this conflict really beginning in the 1970s with some of the debates about Richard Nixon's policy of détente for the Soviet Union. But it really comes to a head during the Reagan administration.
So the fight over the speech is sort of the fight over the Cold War writ small.
Correct.
Finally, where were you when Reagan gave the speech, and what was your reaction to it?
Well, I was a foreign correspondent. I was in China at the time. I was in Beijing. I think the speech didn't attract my attention that much. I will say I was, in a personal sense, I was just about to leave China that summer. I got on the Trans-Siberian Railroad with my family and went to Moscow and noticed the changing climate in Moscow and became interested in that part of it.
Did the Chinese have any reaction to the speech?
No. At the time, the Chinese in June of 1987 were at the peak of their own interest in reform, and they were interested in Gorbachev's reforms as possibly a model for them. 20 years later, they spend lots of time trying to figure out how not to allow any Gorbachev to arise in China.
Huh. Well, Jim Mann is a former correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. He's author of Rise of the Vulcans, and he is now an expert on Ronald Reagan's Berlin Wall speech. Jim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And here's an excerpt from Ronald Reagan's Berlin Wall speech 20 years ago this week.
There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.